This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes. Everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, as live match commentary returns to North Sound 2, we have a full preview as the Dons prepare to get back into action against St Johnstone in Perth. We hear from the boss and Willow Flood as he pens an extension to his deal at Pittodrie. Classic Dons coverage as well, with the launch of a new book looking back at the Fergie glory years. And of course, we have the rest of the Premiership and beyond between now and 7 o'clock when Stu's back for In Demand. It's all here in Friday Sport, and it all starts right now.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
First, as always, to the Dons in a week which has seen Willow Flood sign an extension to his contract that ties him to the club until the summer of 2017. In a moment, we'll hear from the player himself, but first, his boss, Derek McInnes.
I feel as though it sends out the right message. You know, Willow's made no secret how much he's enjoying it here, and you know, like ourselves, the support, his teammates, everybody's taken to him, and we see the influence he's had on the team. And, you know, it's not something we had to do, but something we both wanted to do. So, like I say, like when we signed him, there was not a lot of persuasion needed, and he's happy to commit for that extra year. So, you know, I think it's always important to keep good stability at the club, you know, and we have that with a lot of players under contract for this next 2 or 3 years.
It's another statement of intent from the club, isn't it, to maintain and improve on the achievements that have already been done?
Yeah, but I think he has got an influence. You know, I think when he came in the door, we spoke a lot about his personality, both on and off the pitch. He's an infectious character, you know, the way he plays the game, very wholehearted, can be a catalyst for a lot of our good performances. And with and without the ball, it creates a tempo and an approach that I think has helped us and suited us in the last year or so. So, like we say, he's still young enough and got a lot of good years ahead of him, and thankfully he's going to be seeing that in an Aberdeen shirt.
It was just basically the manager pulled me and says he's really happy with me about the place, my performances on the pitch, and he wants me on the same end of the contract as him. So that was it, and a week later the contract was signed. Yeah, obviously it's a long term. The gaffer's obviously brought a few lads in on long term contracts, and he says this club is a long term goal for him to push right up there. Yeah, really set. Like, that extra year just gives you and your family a bit of security, and then you don't need to worry about, oh, what am I going to do with my contracts up? You just get on with your football, and I'm really settled here. You know, the reason why I signed was because I'm really enjoying working with the manager and Tony Dock. Good people and people that I can learn off. That's just the start of what we want to achieve. Like, we want to go and hopefully one day we want to go and challenge Celtic for the league. Maybe we can, maybe we can't. But that's a long-term goal. Like, obviously, we'd like to have another good season and bring a cup back to Pittodrie.
Evening, you're on Awesome Ones Friday Sport. I'm Joe Mellis. Joining me this evening, the two Daves are back, Dave Galloway and Dave McDermott. I'll start with you, Dave the Elder. Not something the club had to do, but something they wanted to. A good bit of business for club and player, I'd have thought.
It is, and it now means that there are 12 of the first team squad who are around until at least the end of next season and beyond. So it's the manager, I think he was concerned about not wanting to repeat what happened just a few games after he'd arrived, when there was 13 players left. He felt that was too big a clear out to be repeated. So this year, a lot less movement, both in and out. And Willow Flood is another one that's key to our engine room, really. I think he's a tremendous player. His work rate, we comment on it in commentary a lot, about just the fact he seems to be here, there and
it's
everywhere.
It's like there's two Willow Floods.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Indeed.
Yeah,
one's hard enough to understand.
Ooh, you said that.
and vice versa when I speak to him.
Yeah, another sign of Derek, as you say, trying to keep the nucleus of the squad together to build upon for the longer term as well, if possible. And do you think he had maybe an eye on seeing off any potential transfer window approach as well?
I think possibly, but you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, Willow was still here for till 2016 anyway. So I think it's more just about keeping that continuity and sending out the right message to potential targets. Look, we've got all these players, they're under contract, they're not going to be going anywhere in the near future. We've got a squad here, we've won one cup, we're not stopping there, we want this to continue, we want to have a better season if possible, than we had last time. So I think it sends all the right messages out, and I think, as we'll find out, it was well received by the fans as well.
Well, let's get your thoughts on that contract extension and delve into Aberdeen Mad for the first time tonight. It's not going to be much of a surprise, I shouldn't have thought. Where the subject of Willow extending his deal is our weekly topic, started tonight by Paul Dolsky 10, who says, as the title says, Willow Flood signed a new deal, keeping him here till 2017. As always, Dave's got your thoughts on that one. As it continued.
From Edgar Prey, good news. He's one of the first names in the team sheet. We have the guts of a great squad, two players, and we are there. From Rico S321, I find him a very frustrating player, and I don't think he's suited to every single game. I'd still rather have him in our side than against us. Good work again, EFC, and nice one, Willow. From Red Starter Finns, his work rate is superb. Sometimes he gives the ball away when our player is only a few yards away. Sometimes leave the centre of the midfield exposed as he chases the ball like a puppy chasing a crisp packet in the wind. Still glad he's re-signed. When he plays, we do. He needs Ryan Jack that. Alongside him, though, as he has the discipline to hold his position. Pine Bovril Man, good news. It's no coincidence that we've been a better, more successful team since signing him last year. Keep up the good work, lad. From Exterminator 75, great news. Well done to both club and player. Not disappointed in this news, says, and in these ever more PC times, go away the RFC, this is from. Not disappointed in this news, but find it a bit bizarre that both him and Reynolds, who are already contracted up to the hilt anyway, have had another year added to each. Bizarre when we don't have a left back. Responding to that, and the two actually get into a bit of a sort of slanging match, but Fraser Ten
said, "Ding dong, is it?
Aye, very bizarre getting key players tied down to longer contracts. What on earth are they playing at? Trumpet." And then, as I say, that one degenerated a wee bit. From right. Cove Creep, Flood's hustling and harrying is purposeful and effective. He almost often emerges with the ball in situations where he's no right to. He'd be a nightmare to play against, and I used to hate watching him boss our midfield when we played the Jutes. I think McInnes was convinced to pursue him due to his performance in our top 6 decider last minute defeat a couple of seasons back in Craig Brown's last match. From Ohio Red, glad to see Willow's extended his deal with us. He has a tendency to chase the ball, which sometimes drag out position, but I also believe his aggression and tenacity that caused him to do that were the two of the reasons we saw such a huge improvement last year. From the delightfully named Dolly Longstaff, I'll echo what others have said. Can be a frustrating player with his tendency to give the ball away, but overall contribution makes us a better side. As has already been said, we'd rather he was in our team, not against us. That from Jack Don. Gogs 1958, never hides, hates losing, murder to play against, what's not to like. And from Forest Hills, I agree, usually improves dramatically after I complain about him, so I just need to call him a useless person in the first minute and it's job done. From the Angus Bull, looking at the rest of the midfield, we know that Robson could be his last season. Jack and Pollock will attract attention from other clubs over the next season or two. Keeping Willow gives us stability in what could become a period of change over the next 2 years. And finally, from Euromeister, good player Willow, great attitude, he could do with calming down a bit, really, as he gives the ball away a lot, but he has to be a starter. Maybe if he introduced composure to his game, it would lessen his effectiveness in the team. It's probably best Willow keeps doing what he is doing. Amen.
If you want to take part in any of our topics or polls, please do get involved online each week via Aberdeen Mad. You'll see the polls and topics on there from about midweek onwards in any given 7-day period. A puppy chasing a crisp bag in the wind.
That's brilliant.
I particularly enjoyed. Like a cat with a ball of wool. And how many teams, that was right at the beginning of this little topic, but here, we're only, great Willow resigning, we're two players away from being a great team. How many people say that about their team? We're two players away from being an outstanding side.
Absolutely. The Dons, Messi is one.
Oh, that would be nice.
Exactly.
That would be lovely.
The Dons back after a fixture-free weekend and time to recharge the batteries. How long in real terms did the players get off from the club, Dave?
They had a few days off after the game on the Wednesday at Kilmarnock. They were off Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They were back for the chairman's barbecue on the Sunday. Not really full training, that, of course. And then they just a normal week this week.
Right, okay. And presumably on their holidays when they did all the ice bucket challenges.
There's been a few of that going on, as you probably saw around Pittodrie.
There's no chance that they could be rusty at all, is there, Dave?
What, with the water in the ice bucket?
Yeah. I was just the way to say that. You took the words right out of my mouth. No, I don't think so, because had we played that game against Kilmarnock, that would have been our fourth game, I think, in 9. Sorry, had we played
St Mirren?
St Mirren. We did play St Mirren. Had we played?
No, we played Kilmarnock. Well,
had we played St Mirren,
yes,
that would have been our fourth game in 9 days.
Yes.
So don't interrupt Dave the Elder.
I'm be told.
Rude man. So I think it was very wise for Aberdeen to ask St Mirren very nicely, can we mind not playing this game and play it later? And to St Mirren's eternal credit, you know, they said yes. So I think the Dons will be raring to go. They've had a wee rest. The batteries are recharged. Now let's go again. Let's get stuck in Perth.
Up against a St Johnstone side, which had a Stevie Mayectomy, is that any threat carried now nullified? They lost to Hamilton last week.
They lost to Hamilton last week. But again, that perhaps actually echoes what Dave's just said, that the fact that St Johnstone did have the game last weekend and they were in Europe, obviously the same night as us. I think they've got other players that they've signed. Simon Lappin, who's not a bad player. Stephen McLean is capable of scoring goals. They've got the young lad Morgan on loan. So I think Stevie, they were not a one-man team. Stevie May is a big loss, don't get me wrong, but they have other
options.
Goal threats. Yeah.
Let's hear from the boss again, this time on the game at McDermott Park.
We took the decision last week to miss the game, or we asked if we could do that, and you know, I felt it was right at the time. I think getting into this game, it doesn't guarantee anything other than that we've had a good week to prepare, and hopefully we put in a strong performance, because if we're going to get anything from the game, we'll need to put that performance in. You know, I think last season, the game at McDermott Park, there wasn't a lot between the teams getting into the game, there wasn't a lot between the teams in the game, but it was a strong performance from us and two real bits of quality. One is the game, the goals you scored through Niall and Peter, so it might need that quality to separate the teams again. We just need to hopefully it comes for our team.
Yeah, you'll be up against the side still smarting from that defeat to Hamilton. What sort of a game can you expect?
Yeah, I think no taking anything away from Hamilton, because obviously a big result, and I've watched the game and it was a decent performance. But there may have been a case that was, you know, St Johnstone did a lot of travelling as well and games. It was their fourth game in 9 days as well. And what I've always felt about St Johnstone is whenever they have had a disappointing result, and I'm sure last Saturday was for them, that they normally bounce back quite quickly, and that's always a sign of a good team. And I think they are a good team. We're going to have a tough match on our hands, but we just need to go there and look forward to the game. You know, I think we take the confidence from the last away fixture at Kilmarnock, where we played some decent stuff and won the game with a bit of quality as well. So if we can mirror that performance, show enough quality in the game, it's a game we can win. I do believe that they have anticipated a big Aberdeen support. And obviously last season we took a huge support down there as well. And I believe there's going to be even more than that. So, you know, it'd be great to, as it always is, to run out, for our players to run out in front of a strong Aberdeen support. Obviously, Stevie May was an important player for St John's. You know, his goals would suggest that, and it'd be foolish to say that he is a player who brought a lot to the team. But, you know, I think that even when Stevie May was in the team, there was still a lot of other threats from St John's. And I think that they'll be good enough to show that they can respond and still get results without Stevie, and I think that we won't be thinking it's going to be an easier game because of that. No,
approaching 3,000 travelling fans tomorrow, but if you're not one of them, don't forget you can keep up to date with the goals on North Zone 1. Elise is on from 3 with gossip and goals, and the entire match is live once again on our sister station North Zone 2 on digital radio, online at northzone2.com and on 10:35 a.m. North Zone 2 from 2 for Game On, with the match live and very biased, let's make no bones about it, just before kickoff at 3 on North Zone 2. Now, you're on the official station of the Dons. It's North Zone 1 just ahead. More on our big game tomorrow afternoon in Perth. Plus, we'll hear from Tommy Wright of St Johnstone and we'll do Flood of Aberdeen just ahead on North Zone 1's Friday Sport.
North Zone 1 Friday Sport with Dunlop Oil and Marine. Specialist hose integrity management services for the oil, gas and petrochemical industries.
North Sound 1 with the best preview of the weekend's sport action across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sport.
You are on North Sound 1 Friday Sport. It's St Johnstone versus Aberdeen tomorrow afternoon, live in North Sound 2. Saints boss Tommy Wright.
Difficult game. The games between the two clubs last season were always pretty tight. You know, with two semi-finals against them, two massive games. They won one and we won one. Derek's done a tremendous job. He's signed well again. He's been able to strengthen. And I think, you know, outside of Celtic, they're probably the strongest squad. So it's going to be a difficult game.
Tommy said there, Dave, last season it was pretty eeksy-peeksy so far as results went. They won a cup, we won a cup, we hammered them in one semi-final, they saw us off in the other. Not much to pick between the teams in the league either. In fact, arguably, St Johnson probably ended the season better off than us, slightly in top in terms of the games. We seem to run out of steam a little bit. The one major change in St Johnson's lineup, we said, the departure of Stevie May, losses to Hamilton and Celtic, a win over Ross County, who early doors are probably looking a bit like whipping boys. But Derek McInnes has noted that every time St Johnston have had a blip, a result they regard as disappointing, they've bounced back. Do you see that tomorrow?
No. surprise.
Hopefully not.
No, I don't think they will. I think Derek's absolutely right. They normally do bounce back, and they are still a side that will be up there or thereabouts in terms of the top six. But I think what Tommy Wright said is quite true, that Derek has strength. I think that the Aberdeen as a squad, it's a stronger squad than last year. St Johnston, it's eeksy-peeksy, I would say, compared to last year. There's been not very much movement at all, other than Stevie May out, a couple of players in.
They get a lot of joy out of being disciplined and organised.
They are very well organised. They're a good team, good club, a lot of time for them, but you know, it will be difficult, but I just think the game at Kilmarnock, we played very, very well, and that's a better Kilmarnock side than it was last year, even allowing for the absence of Chris Boyd. Mm. So I'm quite confident going down there tomorrow afternoon.
Fresh from signing the extension to his deal, it's Willow Flood.
One thing I would say is St Johnson is a hard team to play against. Every time we played against them last season, even the 4-0 semi-final, it was never a 4-0 game, you know. We were just clinicking in front of the goal, and I think we'll have to be like that as well on Saturday. It's been a long road. We've been back a lot earlier than teams, and I think just to get away from the place and away from each other and spend a little bit of time with your family, but we're back to work now and we need to get on with it.
You'll be facing a St Johnson team, Willow, that will be no doubt wanting to atone for the recent defeat by Hamilton. Do you think that'll make them more dangerous opponents?
I just think St Johnson are dangerous opponents, and anyway, you know, they've some good players. Stephen McLean is a striker who I've always rated, and he causes a lot of problems in the semi-final, so I think we need to be on our guard to keep him quiet, and then hopefully it's up to the rest of us to go and score goals.
Yeah, I mean, you know what you're going to get against the team managed by Tommy Wright, don't you?
Yeah, hard work and good players, and you know you're never going to have it easy.
A massive Aberdeen support as well. Needless to say, that'll hopefully be like a tough man.
Yeah, to be fair, the day I've walked into this building, support has been brilliant, so I don't expect anything different.
Before we get the teams from you guys, let me just bring on the weekly poll again on Aberdeen Mad, and this week about formation. Should Don's boss, Derek McInnes, start playing two up front? Simple yes or no required for this one. That's should Don's boss, Derek McInnes, start playing two up front? And the results like this.
It's an interesting one because I had no idea how this would go, John, but it's pretty decisive. Yes, 73.5%. No, just 26.5%. Now, that has been a real hot topic of debate amongst the Red Army. What formation should Derek play? Now we have the answer.
3-1. Should he?
I would never pretend or even try to argue against what Derek, you know, as they say, in Derek
you're
we trust.
You're scared of Derek.
No, not scared of him, but
in Deek we trust.
I am.
That gives you your last minute instructions about what to say to get. But it's all to do with getting the crowd rumbling up, and you're doing a great job in that, which is fine. But no, I, the fans, obviously, I think most fans would like to see two up front, but who are we to argue with the success that Derek's managed to bring to the club? So I
in think little he, over a year, you
yeah,
know.
There'll be games where, as we've seen, you know, we've had David Goodwillie and Adam Rooney on the pitch at the same time, which a lot of pundits thought might not happen. It would be one or the other. So you know, and again, there are situations that might be when we're chasing a game. But I'm quite happy to not go by what the fans want, but go to what Derek decides.
Time to predict a Derek. Now, these are the 11 men you think Derek McInnes will send out for the match in Perth tomorrow, which, don't forget, is live, as always, on North Sound 2. Dave the Elder, I'll start with you.
Right. Langfield, Logan, Anderson, Reynolds, Considine, Pollitt, Jack, Flood, Hayes, McGinn, Rooney.
Good. I should have asked. No injury, fresh injury problems.
Jeffrey Monacana, who's still to make his debut. He's got a lower back problem, but he'll be back in training next week.
You know, I want to pronounce that Monacana.
Boom, boom.
Oh, God, you can see that one coming a mile off.
Sorry. Anyway, David Younger, the team for you.
Langfield in goals, back four of Logan, Anderson, Reynolds and Considine, Flood and Jack in front, then McGinn, Pollitt and Hayes behind Rooney.
So exactly the same.
Next, the one to watch, Dave Galloway first this time.
The one to watch for me, Ryan Jack. He's been terrific this season, and he just gets better all the time. Something of an unsung hero at times. You certainly notice the difference when he's not in the team. So Ryan Jack for me. And let's hope he can go on a bit of a goal-scoring run, because that is the one slight criticism that the manager has of him. His all-round play is absolutely fantastic, but he doesn't get enough goals. But he does have it in his locker.
And you're one to watch, Dave Mack.
Another player that I think you only realise how good he is when he's not there, and I'm going for Johnny Hayes. I think this could be a massive season for Johnny. We talked about Willow's engine. In Johnny Hayes, you've got a guy who just seems to have lungs that are non-stop, because he never seems to run out of puff. And I noticed he's now got himself a bike as well. He was getting a bit of slagging for the picture, but it wasn't the most flattering, with his bicycle helmet on his head and his high-vis jacket. Can imagine what some of the other players came back to.
The hashtag that somebody put
on that.
Really.
It was Johnny that put the hashtag.
Oh, no, it was him. Oh, well.
I am clearly behind on this, but I don't think I want to catch up. That's the frightening thing.
You don't.
So anyway, Johnny's got a bike, is what you're saying.
Indeed.
Right.
Yeah, and that'll keep him. The point I was making is his lungs will be even bigger.
Yes, and he's a weeble as well. I mean, whenever anyone, rarely does anyone push him off the ball. But if he gets taken down, he's just straight
back
up.
And also for a guy that's not the tallest, the amount of times he wins headers that he really has no right to win. So Johnny Hayes is my one to watch.
Okay, and finally, what's the score going to be, Dave Galloway?
Score for me, 2-0 to Aberdeen.
Ugh. Same for me. I actually was asked by somebody on Twitter just before before we came on air, and I tweeted 2-0.
Yeah, I agree. Do you want to go for scorers then, see if we can split the difference?
I'll go for Rooney and Pollitt.
I've just written that down. That's
Rooney and Jack for me.
Okay. Rooney and Jack, okay. You're determined Ryan Jack's going to score this
week. Yes, come on,
week,
Ryan.
You're on North Sunderland's Friday Sport. This is the official station of the Dons, coming up before 7. The latest book to be published on the most successful Dons era so far. It's just been released, and we were at the launch to chat to some of the former players. But directly ahead, the rest of the Scottish Premiership, previewed in full, along with Peterhead in League One, the Highland League Juniors and more, in just a moment on North Sunderland's Friday Sport.
North Sound 1 Friday Sport with Dunlop Oil and Marine, a world leader in the design, manufacture and supply of hoses for the oil, gas and petrochemical industries.
North Sound 1, the official station of the Dons, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
To the other matches in the Scottish Premiership this weekend, and the Saturday lunchtime kickoff sees league leaders Inverness welcome champion Celtic to the Highlands. Big Yogi's a fan of Celtic's resources.
You've got the biggest game of the season on Tuesday after our game, so you're trying to second guess and say what kind of teams are going to play against us. But no matter what team they put out, their squad's full of quality footballers.
And it would appear Ronnie Dyler is thinking of making those switches.
We have a big squad, so it's important to use it. And that's one of the advantages we have in Celtic, that we have 25 players who can play top level. And that's the thing we have to use.
Inverness versus Celtic at 12:30. I suppose there is a chance if Dyler makes too many changes, it could upset the balance slightly. Inverness versus Celtic, Dave, how's it going to go?
Yeah, there is a real chance in Inverness. They're top early doers, and they'll be going into this one full of confidence. I think, though, Celtic, they seem to have found a wee bit of form, so I think they might sneak it 2-1.
Dundee United have had an up and down time, but mostly up, with wins over the Dons and Motherwell, but came horribly unstuck last week at a 6-1 defeat to the champions. Assistant boss at Tannadice, Simon Donnelly, expecting a return to form tomorrow against Ross County.
It's going to be another difficult one for us. You know, we played against Motherwell last midweek and they kind of set their stall out to make it difficult for us, and we proved to be patient, you know, and it might be the case again, but as I say, if we approach it the right way, we expect to win.
Was he getting his tyres done at the garage when he
I think he was having his hair done. That was his hairspray.
Stacky's boss Derek Adams has no plans whatsoever for sitting in at Tannadice.
You know, we've got to go and, you know, take the game to Dundee United. I think that we've got the attacking players to do that. Dundee United have certainly got that in their team as well, so I'd probably expect an open match and an entertaining match. I think that both sides, you know, want to win to get back to winning ways.
Dundee United versus Ross County, Dave. I've got a funny feeling this could be a bit of a cricket score.
Yeah, I can see Dundee United really taking their frustrations out on Ross County and giving them a bit of a doing, maybe 4 or 5-0. I can't really see Ross County doing anything. They've had a horrible start, 3 straight defeats, and I think a fairly routine victory for Dundee United. You know, Celtic were brilliant last week, but United certainly shot themselves in the foot. They're desperate to bounce back.
So when are we win then?
Kilmarnock are at home to Motherwell. Alan Johnson wants to start winning on their own patch.
We've got to make this place a hard place to come. We've got to make sure that we're picking up wins here. You can see the results away from home have been good. Tough game against Aberdeen, which I don't think we were far away in. But we've got to make sure we start picking up wins here.
Jim McCall's been struggling with injuries. Sorry, I'm laughing at the face Dave made when he said we weren't far away in the Aberdeen game. McCall may even look to bring in his assistant out of retirement.
Kenny Black might be 50, but he's been training well there all week, so we'll have to see. But no, listen, that's what you get a squad for, and you've got to try it. But we've been unfortunate just in one area, really. But we can shuffle a pack, and you know, whatever we come up for, hopefully it'll be a winning combination.
Do you know the last manager that made noises like this, and it started off and it was a little bit jokey, a little bit jovial, and as injury crisis deepened, it became, all right, so I've got 3 men available. It was with Terry Butcher. Do you remember? It was just week after week after week. Kilmarnock versus Motherwell.
Motherwell are in a bit of a pickle at the moment in terms of they just haven't, you know, the early European exit unexpectedly, and I think that's set the tone for them, and they haven't quite recovered. I quite fancy Kilmarnock tomorrow to come out and top maybe 1-0 in this one.
Okay. Partick Thistle are back at Fir Hill, where they've already got that win they waited so long for last season, and Alan Archibald knows it's been a huge part in their early success.
I think it's the fact we get the win at home first and foremost. I think we started the season well last year, similar results. I think after the first couple of games we had 4 points as well, but obviously that home form wasn't there, so to get that home win, it stood us in good stead, and also a good performance up at Dundee, down to 10 men in the second half.
Hamilton's Alex Neil knows his team aren't doing too badly either.
I think the good thing as well, you've sort of got the monkey off our back with a win at home and a win away. Because I know obviously Partick Thistle last year, a lot of people made a big deal about them not winning at home since whenever, I mean February or something like that. So not to get that out of the way, so you don't need to really talk about it or even think about it, it's a good thing.
This has the potential to be a cracking little match, I think. Partick versus Hamilton, Dave Galloway.
Yeah, I think so, John. Both sides have got some really good players. They've both got good systems. They like to play really good, attractive football. I can see this one being a 2-2 score draw.
St Mirren had a break last weekend as well. They returned to competitive action at home to Paul Hartley's Dundee.
We get into every game trying to win it. We know it'll be a tough game. They've had a few bad results in opening games, but we know every game's tough in this league, and we understand that, but we have to go there and be positive.
Have to go there to be positive. St Mirren versus Dundee.
I think Dundee's run of draws may well continue. I'll go for 1-1.
1-1. Briefly into the championship, it's Cadbeath versus Alloa. Hibs are home to Falkirk. Livingston travel to leaders Queen of the South. Second place Raith Rovers welcome third place Hearts. Rangers host Dumbarton. In League One, Peterhead are at home to Morton. In a moment, Peterhead, Steve Noble. First, manager Jim McAnally.
It'll be good to see how we pit up against a full-time team, you know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it mostly to see how we stand up to them and, you know, and see how we compare to them.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the clash of two title contenders, hopefully.
Oh, I'm not going to say that. I just, as I said before, I want to make sure that we have a good, steady season The last time we were in this league, we get relegated. And we've got to make sure that, as I say, that we aspire to be Brechin, who never seem to be in that position. And first and foremost, that's where you want to be. And then if you can be there for a season or two, then who knows? But, you know, we're not daft enough to get about shouting about stuff like that.
Like you say, though, a terrific yardstick. If you can put in a good showing against Morton, that'll give you great confidence to push on.
That was, I mean, I think we're a team, we've got decent confidence anyway. We work really hard. I think that's the key to any success. When we've got players like Stevenson and McAllister and Rogers will be batting Saturday, wee Coxey, and if we work hard, it gives them a platform to go and do something, and more often than not, they always come up with something.
We can see where we are. Being a full-time, you expect full-time teams to have that advantage. It'll be a great challenge, and it gives an idea where we are. It's still early days, but it gives an idea how where we need to go for the rest of the season.
You think Morton's style of play would benefit yourselves as well, because a lot of teams come to Balmore, they just sit, and Morton, you would think, wouldn't do that.
No, it happened a lot to us last season, because we were expected to win the league last year, so especially at home, the majority of the teams sat in against us, so it didn't really suit us, to be honest, because we like to hit the counter, we like to go direct a lot of the time, so it should be better. Hopefully it'll be better for us this year, that teams won't sit in and they'll maybe go for it, give us a go, so we can get people like Rory some space. Rory and Andy and Jamie and other players like that, creative players, get them space, as opposed to always just Rory gets the ball and there's maybe five players around them times before. So I think it'll be different for us, and hopefully we can adapt to that and finish the season. Start the season and go on as good as we can.
In the Hand League, Bucky are at home to Nairn County. John Sharon's Cove Rangers meet Rothes. Foot William are on the road to play Devon Vale. For Martin United, welcome Wick Academy. Strathspey Thistle are at Fraserburgh. In the remaining fixtures, Hundley host Clach. Keith are at home to Forest. Lossiemouth go to Turriff. Game of the day, league leaders Inverurie Locos against last year's champions Brewer Rangers. Chatting here to John Innes for North and One's Friday Sport. After a midweek 3-0 victory over Keith, Locals Kenny Cool says they'll need to improve against Brora.
I hope we turn up and we make a good account for ourselves, because 100% right in the league, going into a Brora game, you should be full of confidence, and I'm sure they are the same, but if our guys turn up and apply some proper, I'm sure we can make a game of it. Hopefully a different Locals team will turn up on Saturday. And,
personnel have to be crisper.
Yeah, for sure. Just all around, general all-round play. We need to press a bit harder. We've got to get past them moving a bit quicker and take my chances as well.
What's the prospect? Some of the injured players being back, Neil McLean, John Medland. Maybe.
Hopefully John will be back. Neil will be touch and go. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to see what probably Friday, Saturday morning says with them, really.
In the juniors, Dave.
Yeah, in the Girl League Cup Section 1, three teams still with a chance of going through. Granton, who play Ellen, who could also go through to the last eight. Sunnybank are still in the mix. They go to Hull Russell United. In Section 2, Buckenhaven Hearts just need a draw to qualify. At home to Spey Valley, it's Nairn St Ninian against Port Gordon Victoria. Section 3, Isle of Ale go to Longside, Stonehaven against Burghead Thistle. And in Section 4, Bankery St Ternan entertain Dufftown. Both of those sides say can't qualify. In the Super League, FC Stonywood against Cooter has been switched. It's now at Cooter, and it will be the reverse fixture, Cooter versus Stonywood. Hermes take on New Elgin. Inverness City entertain Bank City. Dice go to Maud. In the First Division East, Aberdeen University at home to Parkvale. Bridge of Don Thistle visit Colony Park. It's East End against Newmarket United. Glen Tanner versus Lewis United. In the First Division West, one game there, White Hills. They are at home to Forest Thistle. A couple of cup games in the first round of the Domino's Pizza North Regional Cup. Cruden Bay entertain Lossiemouth United, and the preliminary round of the GA Engineering Inter-Regional Cup, Fraserburgh United travel to Bucky Rovers.
Now, briefly back to Pittodrie and a request from Neil Simpson.
Yeah, we're looking for a lead scout for the Angus area. It's a part-time vacancy to work reporting to Neil, looking to identify and report on the most talented young players in the Angus area.
And then smuggle them out in a sack
overnight.
Absolutely,
and then develop a network of local contacts to maximise. So if anyone's interested, applications should be submitted by email with a CV and a covering letter by next Friday to jobs@afc.co.uk.
Okay, that's jobs@afc.co.uk, a part-time scout
for the Angus
for the
area.
Angus area to develop a network of tunnels to smuggle potential talent out.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Now, on to the English game. The Premier League champions take on last season's runners-up in just the second round of fixtures on Monday night. Meanwhile, Crystal Palace need to put another turbulent week behind them. Richard Newman looks ahead to the weekend's matches for North Sunderland's Friday Sport.
We've not had to wait long to see two title rivals go head-to-head. Champions Manchester City host Liverpool on Monday. Even this early in the year, City manager Manuel Pellegrini says a match against such a team is huge.
Well, I always say to the players that these games are against those 6 points, especially when you play at home with the most important squad of the Premier League, as Liverpool or Chelsea or Arsenal, are a match of 6 points.
Crystal Palace had to deal with manager Tony Pulis departing 2 days before their opening fixture last weekend. This week, they thought they'd found a new boss until the Malky Mackay allegations kicked off. And so Keith Millen stays in charge for a London derby at home to West Ham. Millen says preparations for tomorrow's game have been good, though.
They trust me. They know that we'll be organised and we'll be set up. There's no excuses.
Title favourites Chelsea take on their second newly promoted team in 2 games. That's Leicester. Arguably, the neutrals' pick of tomorrow's matches would be Everton against Arsenal. Newcastle go to Aston Villa at lunchtime. Southampton host West Brom, while Swansea play Burnley. Then on Sunday, can Louis van Gaal get his first competitive win as Manchester United manager after last weekend's surprise defeat to Swansea? Sunderland are the visitors.
2 weeks ago, I was the king of Manchester. And now I'm the devil of Manchester. I think that the fans of Manchester are intelligent and I'm not hired to be fired.
Also on Sunday, it's a London derby between Tottenham and QPR while Hull take on Stoke.
Finally this evening, the latest book on the Alec Ferguson years. Fergie Rises, How Britain's Greatest Football Manager Was Made at Aberdeen by Michael Grant is out now. Gothenburg great Alec McLeish spoke to us. I've only said that name 15,000 times in my entire lifetime, and tonight's the time that I messed it up. Gothenburg great Alec McLeish spoke to us at the book's official launch on his recollections of the boss and the first time he met him.
I wasn't in the first team at the time. I was still playing with the reserves, and I know that some of the players were voicing a bit of dissent towards the new gaffer. Just listening to some of the senior players in the dressing rooms, in the corridors, and he realised he was comparing them to players from St Mirren, his previous club, and one or two of the players took offence at that, and then I think Sir Alex Ferguson saw that I've maybe got to do this a different way. And that's the hallmarks of a top manager. He knew right away that I need to go about this differently. So he treated the situation with kid gloves, and he changed it a little bit, and the players obviously began to get much greater respect for him. So I remember that as the kind of first 2 or 3 months of his introduction, but that was only listening to older players. Other than that, you know, I didn't have much to do with the gaffer, because I was, as I say, our coach was a reserve team coach, and we worked with him most days. So it was only when I went into the first team that, you know, I really began to get to know his ways.
And when that happened,
the Aberdeen team they had was a talented team. It was a team of a lot of motivated players, and the ones who did need motivating, he turned them into very good players, and they probably wouldn't have done so well in their careers hadn't it been for him. Well, if you look at the history of Aberdeen, they weren't really a prominent force until Alec Ferguson's 8 year domination. If you go to history before that, it was 25 years before they won a title. They won the odd cup. You know, they won a cup in 71, they won a cup in 76. So it's kind of, you know, similar to the modern day. Let's face it, that Aberdeen team overachieved. And for an Aberdeen team to do that again, I don't see that happening. I think they've got every right to believe they can be the main challengers. But we've seen Dundee United go to Pittodrie and beat Aberdeen 3-0. Jackie McNamara's building a young team who are, you know, very capable, very good with the ball, and you know, that they're very mobile, so they're going to be a threat to anybody as well. But Derek McInnes has amassed a good squad of players, good experienced players, and he got them at the right time. And it was probably the right time financially as well for Aberdeen, and because a lot of these players were probably not going to be up for grabs, despite Derek getting them at that particular time. I think, you know, that's the fortunes of a manager as well. The timing is everything. And so Derek's done a good job in securing those players.
Alec McLeish there. We're reading reports online that Alec McLeish has got a new job.
Yes, according to what we're seeing on Twitter, there's speculation that Alex has been appointed the new coach at Belgian club Genk. So good luck to him if that is the case.
Good luck to Mr. McLeish and Genk.
Yes, indeed.
Dave, our weekend coverage.
Well, of course, full commentary back on North Sound 2, our sister station, tomorrow afternoon. We're on air from 2 o'clock with Dave, myself and Andrew Shiney. Updates here on North Sound 1. Jim will be at Peterhead as well, as per usual. And, of course, the commentary will be going out simultaneously on North Sound 2 and also on Red TV. So we're certainly looking forward to that. It will be, as it always is, extremely biased in one direction.
Very biased.
Craig Thompson's the referee. I will try and watch my language, and I'm sure we'll have a good game. So that's all happening tomorrow. But that's just about it from Friday Sport.
North Sound 1 Friday Sport with Dunlop Oil and Marine, servicing the oil, gas and petrochemical industries. Dunlop-oil-marine.co.uk.